This is episode 305 of the RV Podcast.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast, and we are delighted that you're putting us in your ears this week. We are your guide to freedom and fun through RV travel, no matter what kind of an RV you have. You might be in a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent. Maybe you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday. Well, this show is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and always using the right gear and technology to enhance the RV lifestyle. So let's get going. We've got lots in store for you this week. Well, this week in the RV Podcast, we're going to hear from real RVers who have traveled all over the U.S. and Canada over the past 5 months. And they're going to tell us what RV travel is like during this COVID pandemic, what it's really like out there. And they're going to candidly share their experiences, what was open, what was closed, how welcome they were, what it's like trying to do the RV lifestyle in these challenging times of a pandemic in which everything seems to be shutting down again in so many places once again. More things being canceled, pretty much the Elkhart open house for all of the dealers and the suppliers, a major industry event. That's now been canceled, as well as the Motorhome RV Hall of Fame vendor displays that they were going to have to show us all the new things coming out. Also closed. Every major RV show that has been scheduled has now been unscheduled. It's closed, canceled. The next thing we know that is on the agenda in terms of a big show is not until January, and that's in Tampa, Florida. And there are some who say, will that still go on as scheduled? So who knows? Hey, right now, before we get all the news of the week and all the things we've got in store for you, it's time for my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
We got a little camping time in this past weekend.
And it was really nice to get out there and be in our rig.
It was. It was hot. I mean, really hot this weekend. I think the real-time temperature was over 100 degrees, didn't they say? And
well, what I didn't like more than the heat was the dust in the air.
Yeah.
We need
some
rain.
It was so dry in this part of Michigan where we were. We were up at Addison Oaks County Park, one of our favorite go-to parks, not too far from our Sticks and Bricks house. And it was very dry. And, there's something too we love. It's a good thing you have air conditioning in the RV. But when it's always on, it's kind of always, washing over you. It kind of, I don't like air conditioning that much.
I don't like air conditioning. But, I mean, I'm spoiled. I don't want to give it up. I remember our second home, we added air conditioning. Our first home, we didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, now it's kind of
I'm used to it, and I really like air conditioning, but I prefer having windows open if
yep.
I could.
I do too, and I did see a story somewhere online today in my normal check of all the things that are going on in the world, and it said that normally, according to the calendar, from this date on, from the 29th of July down, it is starting to get cooler. The average temperatures begin to show a slow decline. So it's been a very hot June and July. And, of course, with August just around the calendar, it's going to be hot still for a while.
But yeah, I've always considered August a hot month, and the past few years I've considered going into September. It was warm during the daytimes where we live in Michigan.
Yeah.
And we've been in our house 27 years.
Isn't that hard to believe? And we still do have a house. A lot of people think that we're on the road full time. We're half to three quarters of the time. And, of course, this year everything is different. We've been gone pretty much from January until almost the end of June, and then we've been back here since the end of June, and we're not really doing a lot of long-distance travels. I think we have a couple of trips, shorter trips we want to plan, and then We hope to spend the fall up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and maybe even the North Shore of Minnesota. We love it up there, too.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be doing that.
And and many of you know we are winter campers, too. We like to camp in the winter. And we went to,
and you know, I like to leave the camping spots for the families during the summer.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just like weekends. Let it be for people who work all week.
And
you
same
know,
with
try
holidays.
To go up Monday. Yeah. So I don't mind not camping when other people, that's the only time they can.
Now, of course, this is a strange year.
Oh, yeah.
A lot
nothing's
of people,
normal yeah, about this year.
Nothing. And who knows what 21 is going to be like. So anyway, we hope wherever you are that you are safe and that you are able to get out. We've got a really fun interview section coming because, once again, we turn to all of our social media challenges from Instagram.
Social media challenges?
Yeah, we put a challenge out to everybody to tell us what, sometimes social media is indeed a challenge. Everybody gets so testy and angry these days, but we put out a kind of a challenge and a question for everybody who's been out there traveling in their RV to tell us what it's really like. And we've got some great reports from really all over North America, and we'll put those on in our interview of the week coming up.
Can't wait to hear it.
Hey, I did notice one interesting and I think a rather disturbing story. If you are a user of Garmin GPS systems, you may have been or still are affected by some real technical issues they've had. The company, like most of them are when they get attacked through the internet in a cyber attack, is very tight-lipped. They are not very forthcoming in what happened, but they had some major failures. They said it was a cyber attack, but multiple credible sources say, no, it was a ransomware attack. And you know what ransomware is, where they say, where hackers get a hold of your system and they say, hey, we're going to wipe it clean. We've got it locked out. You can't use it unless you pay us this huge sum of money, usually by Bitcoin or some kind of cyber currency. That's what this apparently was, but Garmin would only describe it as a cyber attack. I guess that's technically accurate, but not very detailed providing. Anyway, Garmin's customers experienced widespread outages, and some had some pretty significant consequences. For example, a lot of pilots rely on Garmin to fly, and they lost the ability to download up-to-date navigation or aviation information for their systems, which effectively grounded them unless they could use another system. So the company says they're getting things back to normal. Many of their online services were interrupted, they concede, including website functions, customer support, customer applications, company communications. They say the functionality was not affected of the products, but the ability to access online services was, so I would assume that would be mapping services, things like that. They're not disclosing additional details, and including whether they paid the ransom or were able to begin decrypting their systems through other means, but they're only describing it as a cyber attack. They said services should be up and running within a few days, although there may be some delays as they catch up on the information backlog. But that's so disturbing.
It is.
And, you know, I mean, we rely so much on GPS these days. And fortunately, there are many different options out there and online services as well and apps. We use the app Waze. We use Google Maps. We even use Siri sometimes. We have a navigation system on our RV in the entertainment system that Ford has on the Ford Transit-based system that our Leisure Travel Vans Wonder is built on. But Garmin's a big player in the GPS field, and looks like somebody got in their information and locked them out and caused a big service interruption. So hopefully that's getting squared away. Meanwhile, there's still uncertainty again. Everything seems to be shutting down. You know, it's just so confusing out there. So I think that people are going to enjoy this, the interviews we have, because lost in all of that hype and the worry and the anger and the legitimate concerns over this virus is the fact that you really can go out there and travel. You really can. There are many people who have been really enjoying it, and I think everybody's going to be pleasantly surprised by what they hear in that report. But we got lots more news we got to get to. Are you ready for that?
I am.
All right.
Mike's got news. RV news. news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV News of the Week.
Congress passed the Great American Outdoor Act last week, sending it to President Trump's desk, where he's expected to sign it. The bill will provide $900 million a year to the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It will also provide up to $6.5 billion over 5 years to help pay for the many maintenance needs of the nation's national parks. Look for more details out this week when it is expected to be signed into law.
That is really encouraging news for two reasons. One, for all of us who love the RV lifestyle, we know that our national parks certainly have needed some infrastructure work, and that $6.5 billion over 5 years will help with those long backlogs that they have. But more importantly, I think, is that's one of the first things that Congress could agree upon in I don't know how long. So
I really find it hard to believe they
I had too. I mean, it lost in all of this is that they actually, that both parties came together and agreed to this. This is awesome. So congratulations, Congress. We'd like to see you do more of that. Several parts of the country, officials are reporting more campfire-caused wildfires than normal. I wonder if that's because we have so many new people who are out there RVing and camping. You know, it's about the safest form of a vacation getaway you can now do. Whatever it is, in Maine, there has been a 170% increase in campfire-related wildfires this year compared to last. A campfire is also suspected as the cause of a wildfire near Clayton Beach in Washington's Larrabee State Park last week. Some places, like the Tahoe National Forest, are seeing an increase in illegal campfires, and that's causing officials to say they're responding to the second highest number of campfire-caused fires ever recorded. So if you are out there, take care of your campfire. Protect it. Make sure it is out before you walk away from the fire or you go to bed for the night. Get that campfire out. Always have water near the fire.
Yellowstone National Park urged visitors last week to stay out of the water. Apparently, more people than normal are ignoring posted signs at Yellowstone and swimming in the water, where swimming is clearly prohibited. Park officials are reminding visitors the signs are there for a reason. Some Yellowstone water is boiling. In 2016, a man is believed to have literally dissolved after trying to soak in a prohibited thermal area. And in other places, the water is extremely frigid, a literal snowmelt. Other times, people are told not to go in because the water is infested with organisms that will make them sick. As always, if the sign says stay out, we advise you to stay out.
In West Virginia, police have arrested two men involved in an international RV theft ring. The men were arrested last week for stealing two camping trailers. Police also found two other stolen camping trailers abandoned by their drivers, who were apparently taking those stolen rigs somewhere to another buyer. The thieves are part of what police said is an international crime ring that steals RVs in the southeastern states and then ships them to Mexico and other foreign countries.
We have an update on what is open and what is closed. As of today, July 29th, 2020, 91% of the campsites listed by Compendium are now open, with New Mexico remaining the only state park campground system closed. But according to Compendium, which is doing an excellent job keeping track of things, many other popular spots throughout the country remain closed because of COVID-19. Theodore Roosevelt National Park campgrounds are closed, for instance, as are Point Reyes, National Seashore Campground, Mount Rainier's National Park Campgrounds, Navajo Nation, Tribal Parks, and many other spots. As always this year, things are fluid. We recommend checking before heading out. And be sure to listen to our interview of the week coming up, in which you're going to hear from numerous RVers exactly what they are encountering in their travels.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes and now with free shipping. Man, Rad Power Bikes are on a tear. They are being bought up like crazy. There are so many, just like the RV are booming, the industry selling RVs is booming, so is the e-bike business. And Rad Power Bikes, built for everything, priced for everyone, they are selling like crazy. They are America's number one e-bike brand. For one thing, they cost about half as much as comparable bikes in the market because they deal directly with the consumer. And they have a series of different e-bike models. They fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. We like the foldable minis, the Rad Minis, the fat tire version. They can go over just about anything, and they fold up really small. You can pack them up in the storage compartments of many of your RVs. They have the city bike model. That's the one that Jennifer and I have. Hers is the step-through model, which is really popular with everybody, men and women these days. You don't have to throw your leg over that big center bar. You just kind of step through. All of the models can reach 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle or use five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost. You can combine pedaling and throttle however you want. Perfect for people who want to get back into riding or just have a whole bunch of fun out there. They give you a little extra boost when you want it. Riders can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And here's a special deal. If you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off, plus free shipping on all their bike models. Use the coupon code RVLifestyle, and they will give you an additional $75 off. Free shipping, you can't beat it. Simple to put together. Go to them. Check them out. It's radpowerbikes.com. Again, radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this question comes from Heather, and it was posted originally on our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. And if you've never been there, just go to rvlifestyle.com/Facebook. rvlifestyle.com/Facebook, and you can join the group at that point. We've got about 40,000 members, and it has become this incredible, I would argue, the best resource for anybody anywhere who wants to ask information or share information about the RV lifestyle. It's just a great resource. And this one was posted from Heather, and Heather says, what is the app called that will scan for campsites that open up? There's an app out there that has been, we've mentioned it a couple times in this program, that say you want to rent a spot and it's a popular campground and it's full. Well, this site claims that if you find your site, you can then say it's full, but let me know when an opening results, and then they'll ship you a text, and then you can find it on your own. It's supposed to be free. The site is called yesyoucamp.com. Yesyoucamp, all one word, .com. And I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode. You can find it there. It's at rvlifestyle.com/305. But if you want to just write it down, it's www.yesyoucamp.com. Now, that site claims that 92% of their users are able to get reservations at sold-out campgrounds. And isn't that a great offer, if it's true?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Well, I tested it today.
Yeah.
We're planning a big trip to the UP, and we have a couple of really popular campgrounds that we want to go to. One of them is the Munising Tourist Park. That's probably one of our favorite campgrounds
in the UP. I do like that park. We've been in the overflow area quite a few times there.
Yeah. Well, it's very popular. It's lots of people rent it out, a year in advance. It's hard to get in. I tried that, and then I tried your other favorite one, which is just across the UP in St. Ignace, the Straits State Park.
Yeah, I like that park too.
All right, so I could find them both listed, but not really listed. When you type in the park that you're interested in, you get a drop-down list, and sometimes they'll list, these are the parks in that area. But then they have a list underneath it in which they say, okay, this one's full, this has availability, for the dates that you selected. None of them were listed there. I mean, it showed them in the initial listings, but it had no way to sign up for an alert or even to discover availability. And those are two very popular parks. There's no excuse not to have them listed there. So then I was getting a little, well, was it maybe just Michigan? They did something. So I checked another one of our favorite places that we like to stay at a couple times each year, and that's the Kentucky Horse Park Campground just north of Lexington, Kentucky. It didn't even show up in their listings.
Oh, dear.
Now, that's a huge, popular campground. Didn't even show up. So if this Yes You Camp service was really helpful, you would expect it to certainly let you see the availability or to ask for a text alert there. So Heather's question was posted on our Facebook group, and I can just tell you, you know, that was our trial when we tried it today, but it brought several answers from our members. I'll just give you a sample. Melanie wrote, "The point is, I will verify availability with the source instead of a third-party program or company that may be outdated or behind." And that's what it seemed like when I tested it today. It just didn't have any of that information in it of those very popular campgrounds. Mark, though, said he has used Yes We Camp, and he says, quote, "It has helped us get sites on several occasions." So Mark might be one of those people that their advertising is 92% can find it. The bottom line for me is try it if you want to try it. But based on my test there just today as we were recording this podcast, don't count on it being 100% complete or accurate. You can check it out. It's a neat service if it works, as said, you know, because you know how hard it is to get into so many campgrounds. And as you'll hear in our interview coming up in just a minute, so many of our campgrounds are so filled now because there are so many new people camping. You can go try it. It's yesyoucamp.com. So check it out. Hey, you got a question? We'd like to hear about it.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
And this part of the podcast regularly brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries that let you get out there and stay out there off the grid longer, boondocking. You can really get out there and enjoy things. Their motto is just that, get out there and stay out there. That's the mission of Battle Born, to provide RV and marine batteries for you boaters. Made with the highest quality lithium iron phosphate technology at the fairest price on the market that will let you have sustained adventures off the grid with batteries that offer better performance. They charge faster. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting. They're maintenance free. We've had them on our last RV, two Battleborns, and when we just picked up our new RV a month or so ago, we insisted same thing. We've got two of their 100-amp lithium batteries. They can help you, too. Battle Born is familiar with most of the existing components on your RV, no matter how old it is and what kind it is, a Class A, Class C, a B van, a trailer, a fifth wheel, a bunkhouse, whatever it is, they're experts. And they offer individually sized 12-volt lithium batteries that can pretty much just drop into any size space you have for batteries on your RV. And they're all protected by a 10-year warranty. That's great, huh? Check them out. And if you have a question, they can give you all the information you need. Tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast. And again, their address is rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV podcast interview of the week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
All right. Well, as I said, we have this wonderful social media community, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest. And so we often will turn to our community and say, hey, tell us what you're experiencing, or what did you find when you went here? And I'm amazed at the wealth of information that people, when you collect them all and compile them into one long report. In this case, it is a report that tells us what it's really like to RV across North America during this COVID pandemic. So we put that question out And I want to thank everybody for answering us. We got a lot more than we can use, and we love hearing your voices. So let's go and ask these RVers, what's it like really out there camping during a COVID pandemic?
Hi, Mike. Hi, Jen and Bo. This is PJ. I am from mid-Michigan. I have been traveling mostly around Michigan in the last couple of months. I would say I really started the bulk of my travels in late April. I've taken day trips to Cadillac, Alpena, Traverse City, Frankfort, the St. Joseph area, so on and so forth. I've been to Mackinac Island twice. In all honesty, everything is pretty much open right now. Businesses are encouraging social distancing. Everyone is requiring you to wear a mask now. I have had no issues traveling, nor have I had any health concerns. And I am just, you know, continuing to enjoy Michigan. I think it is perfectly safe to get out and travel right now as long as you take precautions. So, you know, I would definitely encourage your audience that, you know, as long as they're being safe, the road is wide open. Again, I can only speak for Michigan, but the road is wide open. Happy trails.
Yeah, hi. This is Al and Nancy from Eastern Nebraska. We just spent 4 days at the Stillwater Campground near Rocky Mountain National Park. It's a U.S. Forest Service campground, very spacious, nice sites with a great view of the lake down below, and easy access to Rocky Mountain National Park. We made the reservation in February before the pandemic, and so we decided to go ahead and use it. The campground was fine. The restrooms were open, but there were no showers. We spent about 2 days touring Rocky Mountain National Park in the afternoon and evening. In order to enter the park, you need a reservation. The campgrounds inside the park were closed, but even if you wanted to drive on Trail Ridge Road, you still needed a reservation. Those reservations had to be made online. If you don't have a reservation, you can't get in. What was great about the experience is that we saw fewer vehicles in the park. At times we felt we had the entire park to ourselves. The only crowds we saw was when there was an animal like a moose or an elk on the side of the road, and there was like a group of cars and people with their cameras out, binoculars trying to see it. You know, it was just a good experience, and the nearby town of Grand Lake was pretty busy. We didn't really do any shopping. We just stayed at a campground and visited the park. Overall, it was a good experience. Hope this helps. Bye.
Mike, this is Richard and Deborah Therian from Spring Hill, Florida. We stayed at a couple state parks since COVID started. The parks are very good about leaving the material outside, social distancing, and wearing masks. So we've had a very positive experience. Hope this helps. Bye-bye.
Good morning, Mike and Jen. My name is Harold. I'm from Colorado. We just got back from a trip up towards Glacier National Park. We experienced a lot of rest stops that were closed. We were rebuffed at Glacier when we were there. We waited in line and were turned around saying the park was full. We had to come back later, which was a bummer after traveling as far as we had. We then traversed, stayed in a couple of Harvest Host places in Montana. Gracious Host, one golf course, one winery. Things were great there. In Great Falls, Montana, we wanted to go to a museum at the Air Force Base, was told that we had to have an appointment, and the first one was 4 days after we were there. Most of the campgrounds that we found were pretty full, the commercial ones. We then traversed down to the Rapid City area, got a good campground, went out to the Badlands, again found that the visitor centers were only partially open. The gift shops were open, but couldn't get any information from them. Went down to other venues there in Rapid City and found the gift shops open, but the visitor centers were not. Teddy Roosevelt National Park, we were up there. the south portion of it was open. The campgrounds were closed. The north part of Teddy Roosevelt was not even open when we were there. So they, on the way home, we wanted to stop at a stagecoach museum in Wyoming. And when we got there, it was also closed. So a lot of things are not open. So you kind of have to take advantage of the things that are. But all in all, it was a good trip.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. My name's Martha, and I'm from Ontario. I just wanted to call in and just talk about our travels, or lack thereof, within Canada. We drive a little road trek, and we were actually supposed to travel all the East Coast in June, but obviously couldn't do that due to COVID restrictions. Now we're basically just traveling around around our area of Ontario. We come from a little tourist town in Ontario, close to Goderich. So yeah, southwestern Ontario. We've done a bit of day tripping, like to Goderich and Bayfield, and now beaches are open so we can go and enjoy some of the places there. But I would just encourage anybody before you travel in Canada to check all of the provincial guidelines. The East Coast of Ontario have their own bubbles, so like Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, PEI, Newfoundland, they can travel within their provinces. Ontario, we can travel all over Ontario. In terms of bathrooms and things like that, you know, when you go to the public beaches, we have a lake close to our house called Lake Conestoga, beautiful little beach, but unfortunately they're not open for camping at all. Everybody seems to be social distancing in this area. I went to the bathroom in that little beach, and you just have to have your mask on. So basically in our area of the world, in southwestern Ontario, like, you know, Toronto, Kitchener, Guelph, Stratford, Goderich, we have to wear masks when we go into stores. I'm not sure about Goderich, I think so. But when we go in any public place, we have to put a mask on. Even our church, which is socially distancing super well, we have to wear a mask to go into church and then take it off when we sit down. Our restaurants, we have to wear a mask going into the restaurant, and we can take it off when we sit down. Our little area is terrific for social distancing. We have a beautiful little tourist town with a lovely little river and lake, so that makes it nice. But our travel is restricted. We don't go anywhere. Our government still says you really shouldn't travel around that much if you don't need to. So they're still doing that. Also, you know, it's great being in a road trip because then you can just, you have your bathroom, you have, or any Class B or motorhome, I guess. You have everything you need there. So we try to take everything we need when we go anywhere. But for the most part, we're just doing day tripping here in Ontario. So that's my stuff. Thanks for letting me share. Mike and Jennifer, always enjoy everything you guys are doing. Bye for now.
Hey, Mike, this is Danielle from Silver Lake, Ohio. Just saw your post on Instagram and wanted to talk about my experience. A good friend of mine from high school from way long ago, we're chatting. Both of our kids live out in Flagstaff, Arizona. We were going to go try to see them since it was in the heat of COVID. We left on April 10th. I picked her up in Chicago, rented a Airstream Interstate on Outdoorsy, and we went south to Missouri, stayed in a private campground, first time ever. From there, we went to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, which was amazing, but mostly everything was shut down, although we were fine in another private campground. From there, we headed across to the Salt Plains of Oklahoma, which was amazing. We dug for crystals, and we then moved on towards New Mexico, had no problem at all with a KOA, which was super fun. It was really crowded. It was my first experience ever at a KOA. Super fun. We went to Angel Falls, New Mexico next, which was gorgeous, and no problem getting anything. Noticed everywhere we went, people were wearing masks, were very talkative about social distancing and made sure we were aware of it and just wore gloves at the gas station, masks at the gas stations as everyone else did. We made it to Mancos, Colorado, and we were able to get into the state. No one bugged us. We weren't quarantined, although we were always self-contained. and then made it on over to Lake Powell on the border of Utah and Arizona. As you know, it was gorgeous. We were the only people at Lake Powell. We just put our boards in. We rented at Lake Powell paddle boards. It was awesome. And from there, we popped on up through Utah, which was so beautiful. And I finally made it to Flagstaff. And from there, we busted across to Jackson Hole and stayed at a friend's, which was super duper. Actually, just across in Driggs, Idaho, we mooched, as you say, mooched camped in the driveway. We started across South Dakota, Custard State Park, no problem at all. And we went April 10th, and I got home May 15th after South Dakota. I can't even remember what was next, but I finally dropped my friend off in Chicago, made it back home on May 15th, and since then have bought a leisure travel van, Unity Corner Bed, thanks to you guys and everything I've learned from you on your super awesome YouTube channel and Instagram. And from now on out, got a great tutorial at my dealer, and we are busting all over, mainly in our state of Ohio, but we're going to go back out to Arizona, back to see people in Florida, and everyone I know in my neighborhood wants to get an RV now, or rent one, or use ours.
Hi, Mike. This is Susan Carroll. We live in Sherman, Texas, and we've been from Sherman to Flagstaff, Arizona, to Phoenix, Arizona, to Sholo, Arizona, to Ruidoso, New Mexico, back to Sherman, and then we have driven all the way to Connecticut. And every place we've stayed has been wonderful. We boondocked, I think, 3 nights in Walmart parking lots, and we never had any trouble. Most people were wearing masks. And, but we did cook all of our food. We never went out to eat. And, all in all, it's been a very good experience. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Mike and Jen. This is Susan Johnston. We've been traveling the last 3 weeks from Atlanta for RV repair to Nashville and then into southern and western Missouri camping. We are full-time RVers. We haven't really had any problems finding places to stay, just crowded campgrounds on the weekends. The services have all been fine. Everything is clean for the most part. Some of the state parks, you know, are state parky, but they do their best. We have worn masks everywhere we go, restaurants, out walking around, checking into RV parks and stuff like that. Not everyone else is wearing their masks. That's a little concerning for us. But everything really is going along well. Camping and full-timing continue to be our main lifestyle, and we're going to continue doing that, COVID or no. Thanks, you guys. Look forward to the podcast.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is in response to your question on Facebook regarding plans and what we see happening with COVID. My husband and I have been campground hosting in a Georgia state park since February, and when COVID first started. And I will tell you, the campground has been filled to capacity during the week and on weekends, and we're now hosting at cabins at the state campground, and we're finding the same thing. So I think people are on the road, maybe staying close to home, but they're enjoying the outside. Have a wonderful time, and thanks for all you do. Bye.
We have camped once this year at a beautiful state park in Ohio, our hometown. It was wonderful, although it was crowded. We had a very bad site, and the facilities were all shut down other than the bathrooms and a couple of shower houses. Although we still made the best of our trip and enjoyed this beautiful state park, we will camp in our backyard. We will do some backyard camping for the rest of the year during the COVID crisis. In my opinion, that's the safe way to go. Thank you.
Well, there you go. That is a pretty good assessment, I think, of what it's like out there. And we have been, I should tell everybody, that we have been from Florida to Michigan and all the states in between during the COVID, well, not during the height of the lockdown, but from, I think, late May, we started to move out a little bit. And that's about what we found. We found that there were restrictions, but...
Like the bathhouses were closed.
Yeah, in many cases. But, you know, that's not a problem because we're in an RV, right?
And when we registered, we never saw a person. We did everything by phone or online.
Yeah, even when we went out this past weekend and camped, we went and we picked out our site and came back, and they had... Like a little window, but they had plexiglass that we're seeing everywhere that was open, and everybody's in a mask. So, but you don't really come in contact with people. So that's, I guess the bottom line is if you're comfortable, you certainly can get out there and have a good time.
Right. If you're comfortable to go, go. And if you're not comfortable to go, don't. Or stay someplace, your own yard or go to your, I don't know, can't even go to your kids.
Well, we can. Actually, one of our favorite boondocking spots is in our backyard of our kids who live in Western Michigan. So,
right.
We may have to run over there. They had a new puppy, so we got to go see
them. Yeah, we have a new puppy
in the family.
A new puppy in the family. So we have to go meet Rex.
So I hope all of these, and again, thank you to everybody who called in, and many others did as well. We just didn't have time to get them in the compilation of all the sound bites there. We'll try and do that more often, and you all can do that as well. Just remember, we have a podcast voicemail number. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions, and you can call at any time, and we love to use them in the podcast. And that phone number is 586-372-6990. Again, 586-372-6990. We just love hearing from everybody.
We sure do.
How about that lady who... rented one, which has been your advice.
Yeah.
And then she liked it so much,
Danielle.
She bought one. Danielle.
Boy,
way
she
to go,
made
Danielle.
The most out of it.
You
and
sure
she rented
did.
An Airstream, so that was nice.
Yeah, she rented a Class B, and then she ended up with a
and
Class C.
And then she bought the Unity corner bit.
Yep. So she, and I loved it. She said everybody in her neighborhood now wants an RV or to use
theirs.
Well,
they are fun.
They are. Yep, it's great. Hey, thank you again, everybody, for calling in, and I hope that helped all of you. As you're wondering, well, can I go or should I stay? As we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks, obviously a lot of people are going and they're having a great time. The interview of the week is brought to you every week on the RV podcast by SunshineStateRVs.com. Now, they're based in Gainesville, Florida, but thanks to the internet, you can shop their huge inventory of small motorhomes from the comfort of your home or maybe if you're on the road from your RV, if you're thinking about upgrading. SunshineStateRVs.com. They sell a full line of brand new small motorhomes from brands like Winnebago. They have the Travato and the Era. They have Coachman, which makes the Beyond and the Galleria. They have the Fleetwood IROC and many others. Brand new, in stock right now. And if you're looking for a used RV, oh my goodness, they have, I think, probably the largest inventory of previously owned small motorhomes in North America. Everything from the early 90s to the current year, from popular brands like Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel Vans, Coachman, Road Trek, and more. You will not find a wider selection anywhere else. Every RV that SunshineStateRVs.com sells goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They turn on everything. They test run them. They even go up on the roof. And if they have some cracks, they replace any silicone caulking that's needed. Check them out. You will not be dissatisfied with these guys. They're terrific to deal with. And our friend Nick has even been known to do FaceTime tours of the RVs that they have in stock. So check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
Well, almost always on the road and always off the beaten path, discovering fun and interesting places are our friends Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. We stopped late one evening at a movie theater on the outskirts of Savannah, Georgia. Having made our arrangements ahead of time, we went in and saw a movie, then spent the night in the parking lot, finishing our popcorn and dissecting the remake of Dr. Doolittle before turning in. It just seemed convenient to get on the freeway in the morning, as we were in the suburbs and the smaller highways were difficult to identify. About an hour later, Tom said, "Let's get off this road. I'm not really loving it." And we exited to US 17, which was paralleling our course down the coast. Shortly thereafter, we passed a historical marker, you know, the brown ones with tiny print. I can't say we stop at every historical marker along the road, but I suspect we stop more than most people. And we've learned some fascinating things when we did. You may remember that we came across one in Texas that was dedicated to Tom's great-great-great-grandfather, and it opened up a new chapter of his family history to him and made for several days of exploring. I saw the marker as we whizzed by, but thought, oh, it's not really worth turning around. Luckily, Tom was driving, and once he knew it was there, he wanted to have a look, so he turned around. Sure enough, the marker was next to a small pavilion with a display case underneath. We pulled off, driving partway up a side road that was gated off a few yards ahead. Hall's Knoll, the marker stated. It went on to describe the nearby home of Dr. Lyman Hall, the site of which was just up the gated road. To which I said, what? I couldn't believe it. My maiden name is Hall, and I am a direct descendant of this man, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. I grew up in Wallingford, Connecticut, and being in the Hall family was my own little claim to fame. My ancestors were founders of the town in 1670, and their name was on a rock in the center of town. I grew up on a dairy farm that had been in the family since 1790, and I went to Lyman Hall High School. Hall had lived in Connecticut after he graduated from Yale and eventually served in the Continental Congress and as governor of Georgia. The sign informed us he was a member of the nearby Midway Congregational Church, so we headed on down the road to have a look. Sure enough, the church sat at a nearby crossroads with more historical markers telling about Hall and his role in founding the coastal town of Sunbury. Now a picturesque and photogenic ghost town, Sunbury was a major port during the Revolutionary War, traded hands between the British and the Patriots, and fell into decline after the war. Next door to the church is the Midway Museum. We climbed the steps to this repurposed coastal home and had a full tour and much discussion with the guide, who was very excited when she discovered that I am a descendant. The church, it seems, is not open for visiting, but will always be opened for descendants. So, after the one other visitor to the museum had departed, we walked across the lawn and were admitted to the building, which looks almost exactly like any number of congregational churches we've seen in New England. Don't forget to take a card and register with the descendants group, the guide told us. They have a reunion here every spring and will be excited to have you join them. Sadly, rather than an invitation, what arrived was a notice that this year's event was canceled because of the coronavirus. Ah, well, next year will come soon enough. It was a real treat to find and get to know one of my ancestors just hanging out here at a nondescript crossroads in Georgia, off the beaten path.
Isn't that amazing?
That is a wonderful story. What an adventure.
As everything that the Burkitts do, it's like that. I remember well when Tom and Patty were out in Texas and he found a marker to one of his descendants. And that was a great report here on the podcast. And now Patty has found one. Well, they sent some photos and we'll post some photos of Patty and we'll post some pictures that will go along with this in the show notes for this episode. And you can find that all. And it's amazing to stop when you see those little marker signs. And when you find something that makes you curious, don't say, oh, I'm already past it. If you're curious, just that's a little tug from serendipity, calling you to go back and see what's there. Serendipity means happy accident. And that's the way we kind of do our RVing. But boy, the Burkitts sure had an adventure, didn't they?
That was a wonderful adventure.
It was, as all their reports are. You can listen to the Burkitts every Wednesday here on the RV Podcast. And that wraps up this show.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, that's it for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. And wherever you are, stay safe out there. And I hope you were encouraged by listening to all those folks share their adventures.
I think it was very encouraging to get out there and go.
It was. Hey, we are so happy that you chose to put us in your ears this week. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to this podcast. Just search RV Podcast on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Or you can go to our travel blog, RVLifestyle.com, and you'll always see a link to all of our podcast right on the blog. On behalf of our dog, Bo, I'm Mike.
And I'm Jennifer.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Happy trails.